Just going to ask my wife Sandra to read a passage from John's Gospel.
I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you for your welcome, and it's really good to be here. I've been to one or two of these services, but this is, as you just heard, is my first time sharing with you, so thank you very much for that. Actually, I would like to have one or two volunteers, people who've like to just come up to front, and nothing too desperate, nothing dangerous, promise. Just want to ask you a couple of questions. Is there anybody who's prepared to do that? No? Come on. Thank you very much. It's very simple. Right, very simple. Is this live? Does this mic work?
It will do.
Oh, even better. Great. Okay. Come up.
Oh, good. No, not me.
Right, first of all.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Rachel.
Rachel.
Yes.
Is that your only name?
No, Rachel Clare.
Rachel Clare.
Gordon.
Gordon. So you've got three names.
Yep.
Rachel Clare Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, told you it was easy.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Hello, what's your name?
Pauline.
Pauline.
Pauline. Yeah, Pauline Ann Okello.
Pauline Ann Okello. And so that's your full name. Those are your full names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my full name is Norman Burnett Jones, or Burnett as the English say. But Norman Burnett Jones is my full name. Now, we've all got at least, most of us, I think, have at least two names. Anyone not got two names? At least two names. Yeah. You've only got one name. Okay. One name. But that's enough to identify you with your name. Anybody got more than three names? Some people have more than three names. But all of us have names. And we all have names which identify ourselves. Thank you very much. That was great. Told you it was easy. Bit too easy. Or next time we'll make it harder. Another thing I've got here is, anybody recognise this?
Passport.
Passport, yeah. And what's in the passport?
Photograph
and?
Dates.
And?
Signature.
And full name. Jones Norman Burnett, and bits of other information about me. So that when I go to, when I come back from somewhere, I go to what they call border control now, not immigration, at Gatwick, they can look at this and they can see who I am. And they can tell that this is me, and that distinguishes me from all the other people who come through there every day. Right. Now, God has names. Does anyone know what God's names are? Some of the names of God.
Jesus.
Jesus, correct.
Jehovah.
Jehovah, yeah. Any other names?
Lord.
Lord, yeah. Lots of names.
I am.
Yeah, I am. That's a good one. Thank you. I notice you've got on the back of your shirt another name of God, El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. Thank you for that. Thank you for coming in that shirt. I may come back to you later for another reason on that shirt. Sure, there's all sorts of names for God. The ones I was looking for particularly, which are mentioned in our passage this morning, are three names of God. Father, which is linked to the names like Yahweh and El Shaddai and others. Son, which of course Jesus. We all think of Jesus as the Son of God. And of course, the Holy Spirit. Now, if we're going to describe God fully, we really should use all three names. We really should talk about God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And it's great this morning. We've actually sung those words at least once and maybe more than once. And we've had at least one prayer this morning with all of those names of God in it. So the Spirit's already at work. God, if God had a passport, it would say name would be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I must admit, I'd really like to be at Gatwick the day that God turned up at immigration with his passport. And they said, Name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can just imagine the chaos there would be. But those are his names. God's names are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So like us, God has multiple names, many names. However, there is one big difference between you and I, each one of us, and God, as far as names go. Now, we each may have one, two, three, five, however many names we've got, but each of us is a single person. Right, we're all one individual person. There's one of me, and many people will be glad of that, and there's one of each of you, and so on. But God has three names, and perhaps more names, but he's not just one person, he's actually three persons. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit doesn't just refer to the names of God, it refers to the fact that God is three persons. Each of those three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is a person, and each of those three persons is God. Now, that doesn't mean that there are three gods, because we know this from the Old Testament and other parts of Scripture, particularly in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is one God, yet three persons. Now, this is very hard to understand, but it's something that Christians have believed for a very long time. And in fact, if you read the Bible, and the passage we heard this morning is one of the passages which people use for this, you read the Bible and you start to realize that it's not enough to think about of God as just having one name and one person. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's the best way that we human beings can understand who God is and what he is like. Now, I find it very hard to understand who God is like and what God is like. And that's fine, because I, like you, am a limited human being. I can only think in terms of a person as being a single person, limited by time and space as we are. But God is not like us in that way. God is far greater. God is far more than we can even understand. A very famous Christian once said that if you can understand it, and he was talking about God in a slightly strange way, if you can understand it, it's not God. Think about that. If you can understand it, it's not God. In other words, if we think we've understood God fully, we haven't. So God is really so beyond our understanding, and yet we do understand him to some extent. And the reason and the way we understand him is, of course, initially, partly through Jesus. Because the disciples back in the days of the New Testament that we are reading about today, they met Jesus face to face. And they were with him for several years. And in meeting Jesus, they actually met God face to face. Just think about that. They met God face to face. Just like you and I sit down with our friends, our family, or we meet together here in worship. We have a cup of coffee or meal with someone. We chat to people. Just like that, they met God. Took them a while to figure it out. In fact, even right at the end, just before this passage in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 9, Philip, one of his disciples, said to him, Show us the Father. Show us God. And Jesus said, amongst other things, he said, Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus is God. Now, the thing is, of course, Jesus was a man as well. A human being, and he was physically present on this earth, just like you and I are, for a particular length of time. In his case, possibly about 33 years, roughly. He's no longer visibly present on the earth. He's not with us in that sense today. But that doesn't mean that he's abandoned us or forgotten us. We know this because Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, who is also God. And our reading this morning particularly reminds us of what the Holy Spirit does for us. Because Jesus recognized that he told the disciples, I'm about to leave. He was going to die the next day. Yes, he was going to rise again 3 days later and be with them for a few more weeks as risen Christ. But he physically wasn't going to be with them for much longer. So he was telling them, I'm not abandoning you. You're not going to be left on your own. You're going to have a helper. And Jesus explains in this passage what the helper is going to do. The Holy Spirit is the helper. And he says to them, The Holy Spirit is going to help us to see, help you what is, see what is true. Help us to see what is true. Help us to discern between the truth and the falsehood. There's so many things being thrown at us today. You just need to, you know, listen to the radio, turn on the TV, go on the internet, and there's just all this information coming at you. Somebody once reckoned there are thousands and thousands of pieces of information coming at each one of us every day. How much of it is true? Probably not very much, to be honest, because a lot of it's advertising and other stuff. But how do we tell between what is true and what is not true? What is of God and what is either of the world or of Satan? The Holy Spirit is there to tell us what is true. Just as Jesus spoke to his disciples and to the crowds that followed him, telling them about the truth, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He can tell us what is true. There's another little piece in verse 13. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will tell us what will happen. Interesting that. What will happen? The Holy Spirit will give us insight into the future. That's something I know I don't really think about very much. How is God going to help me see what's happening in the future? I'm not quite sure what's going to happen this afternoon. But he says the Spirit will be there to help us understand and to see what's going to happen in the future. Now maybe some people here have, that's part of the gift of prophecy, I think. It's not the only part of it, but it's part of the gift of prophecy, being able to see and say, God is going to do this, God is not going to do that. And the third thing which Jesus says the Spirit does for us is he gives us the gifts that God the Father has given to Jesus. The Spirit will then give to us, see, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all providing us with gifts which initially he gave to Jesus, which were things like the ability to explain things, to teach, preach, to heal, to love, to help people. All of those things God gave, the Father gave to Jesus, and Jesus the Son gives to us by the Holy Spirit. So God the three in one working together to give the gifts that he wants us to receive and enjoy. So in that short passage in John's Gospel, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all mentioned in that one place. So you can see how Christians started to think, okay, it's not quite enough to think of God as just one single individual person. Each one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is involved in loving us, teaching us, and guiding us as we live as a Christian. Right, now I asked this gentleman, sorry, I forget your name, sir, with the shirt. Richard, I guess you must be an Arsenal supporter, would I be right? No, I'm not as daft as I look, you know. Even I've given up on football. You can tell from my accent I've kind of given up on football. Can I ask you a question about Arsenal? Is there just one person in the Arsenal team? No, there's more than one person. Do you know any of the players' names? I mean, I'm sure you do, but just a couple? Just a few. So there are lots of people in the team. And even when they're playing, not everyone in the team's actually on the field, because there's obviously more than 11 in the squad. They've all got individual names, and yet they're all part of the team Arsenal, or whichever team you support, Crawley Town, or when I was young and foolish, Forfar Athletic, which apparently they still play football, sort of. But, you know, there's a team which has a name, Arsenal, Crawley Town, Forfar Athletic, whatever it might be, and yet it's made up of individuals. The members of the team are all part of that team, and when they play under the team name. Okay, they may have their own names on the shirts these days, but they're still known as the team. They are individuals with their own names, but yet they're all part of the team that they play for. Now, we've already talked about how God is one, yet three. Three in one, one in three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three, but yet one. We can think of them, if you like, as a perfect model of love in a community. It's a way of God showing us, one of the ways God shows us, how he expects us to live. There's another passage in the Gospels which actually I think illustrates this very well. You probably remember it. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, and it's in that passage it says, the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus in the form of a dove in this case, which I think you've got on the cross there. And the Father, there was a voice came from heaven. The Father said, this is my Son, whom I love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, bound together in love. Now, it's very easy, I think, for us, and it's part to do with the sort of culture we live in, the history we have. We tend to often to think of ourselves very much as individuals, as one person who are in a one-to-one relationship with God, Jesus, or however we want to express it. But I don't think that's really enough to describe the relationship that God wants to have, not only with us as individuals, but with all of us. It's not really what God is like. He's three and one. And it's not how he wants us as a Christian family to be. He wants us to be as a together as a community of people who love him, who love God, and also who love each other. This is what he wants us to do in the world. To live in a way that shows people the loving nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's right and it's good that we're meeting together today as two groups of Christians who have different ways of doing things, and we do things sometimes quite a lot different, sometimes very similarly, but we're different groups of Christians, but we're together today, and I hope together today we're in love, in that community of love which Jesus came to start. Somebody once said, Jesus didn't come to start a church or an organization or an army or anything else. He came to start a community of love. And the fact that we're here together today, worshipping our God together, is part of our witness to the world, showing to the world that God is love, that God loves each one of us individually, but we love each other as Christians, regardless of which part of the church we belong to. So let's continue to show that love to the world, so that we can show the people around us, those we've prayed for already today, those we haven't, we can show them what God is like, the one, the three, who is and are love. Let us pray. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are love, that you have commanded us to love, and that you have shown us the way of love through your word, through your actions, through the power of your Spirit in our lives. And we ask that you would be with us today and in the future, that we might show that love to each other and to the world and to you, so that people may turn around and say, these Christians, they love each other and they love God. Amen.